Abraham Lincoln famously said, "All that I am and all that I hope to be, I owe to my mother." Her name was Nancy Hanks Lincoln. That said, I don't have a Mother's Day talk. But I had an experience this week which really moved me. I had planned long out to talk about how to think. The experience I had this week was a young man came to the office to install some computer equipment, which Reverend Tricia will be so happy about when we get to the office on Wednesday. However, obviously this is a smart kid. He knows a whole lot more about computers than I will. And he was from Central America. And when I say young, I'm thinking under 30, you know, maybe late 20s. Came from Central America when he was fairly young, not an infant. But I think he told me he was around 10 or something. And he said, "This is spiritual living, yes?" And I said, "Yes." "And you're the minister?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Are you like a priest?" And I said, "No." But he said, "Well, what do you do? What do you talk about? What do you think?" And I learned to say, "Well, tell me what you understand God to be." And in this conversation, I realized so clearly that, you know, our worldview is a choice. We grow up in a kind of a culture, be it a largely American culture or some other culture. And me was raised Irish Catholic, which was a pretty good thing to be in New York. It wasn't a fringe thing in the 50s and 60s. There are plenty of Catholics, plenty of Irish, you know. It's not a minority position to be. But we inherit worldviews which we assume are absolutely correct. We assume that it is the only thing that could be authentic or real or meaningful or powerful or appropriate, and the subtext always to that is, and everybody else is wrong. And or going to hell and or whatever is the end of that story for you. As we grow up, if we're lucky, we come to a place where we realize, you know, that was a choice that somebody made to pass on, that this is the way the world works. This is who God is, and whatever other story you heard is not correct, and we're going to heaven and they're not, and all these things that follow that. And it winds up, a great many of us, really not being a helpful thing. It doesn't promote liberation, and it may not promote individual thinking. This is the greatest possible gift and pursuit that any of us can carry forward with, is the development of our own mind, our own train of thought, our own consciousness. And really more than understand, but fully embody, that anything that we think is real, I know this is sounding abstract, anything that we think is real isn't necessarily the way it is. Or that it has to be like this, or this is how one succeeds in life, might have been true for certain people in their experience, but it may not be true for everybody, and it may not be true for me. The path as outlined as the path of success might not be a path that I can walk at all, either for spiritual reasons or for learning reasons. It simply may not be mine to do. And yet we don't know, through all the schooling that we may have the pleasure or privilege of experiencing, we might not know that we actually get to change our mind. We might not really know that if that idea of God isn't working, that you really do get to pick a new God. In other traditions, it's called a God of your understanding, a higher power. Something, as Dr. Holmes would say, there is a force in the universe greater than we are, and we can use it. Well, you might call that God, and we call that principle. But until we generally have an experience that stops us in our tracks, we are rarely motivated to look for a better God, to look for a better way of thinking and being and acting in this world and in this lifetime. And when we do that, when we give ourselves permission to go, you know, there might be something else, that opens up an extraordinary opportunity for growth, for learning, for self-actualization, if we say that in psychology, or for self-realization, which we say in spirituality, to understand that there are indeed energies, there are powers, there is a principle that is greater than me, and if I understand that, I get to use it, and that there's no preordained pattern or path about what I'm supposed to do, and if I don't do that, then I'm a bad person. If we can let go of all that kind of thing, we really do experience a new birth. Or in patriotic terms, a new birth of freedom. Along with that major choice of changing your worldview, that's the expression that I prefer, that this philosophy that we have is a worldview. And the worldview that I make the effort to place myself squarely in the middle of is that this is not a dog-eat-dog world. Or it might not necessarily be heaven on earth in traditional terms. It might not be the Garden of Eden. But it's an amazing planet that we live on. That is huge and vast and varied. And I don't know that if anybody is born in particular to have any one life purpose or not, but I do know that this is an opportunity. That the lifetime we are given is an opportunity to do something with. It starts with learning to be happy, learning to be peaceful, learning to not get so dragged down in what's going on in the great world all around us, to not constantly be reacting and or acting out in our reactions, so that we spend so much energy doing that we forget what we were really on the path to achieve. There's a good old expression I learned in Nashville, which is from Louisiana, and it is, when you're up to your butt in alligators, it's not easy to remember you walked in there to drain the swamp. Yes? A lot of us go through life like that, forgetting what it is that we really set out to do, because there are so many things that seem to be an emergency right here or right here or right here, or there are so many things that are nipping at my heels all the time that I forget what I'm supposed to do. And you know, for most of us, we're not alligator. Are there any alligator wrestlers by profession here? I guess I should ask that question. If we were in Naples, Florida, I guess there might be. But unless you're an alligator wrestler, that's not your concern. And you really do get to ignore a lot of that stuff that seems to be nipping at our heels all the time. There's so many things that go on in the news as well. Sometimes it's hard to remember what principle your life is devoted to. So much information coming at us all the time, which we kind of think that we need to have an opinion about. And I fall, you know, prey to that energy quite a bit. I don't necessarily have to have an opinion about everything that I hear. What do I do with it? I know a couple of weeks ago I was talking about the fact that gas is a penny more than it was. What do I do with that? What do I do with all these enormous global things that are going on? This is what we talk about. This is what we should talk about when we talk about that we teach people how to think. Not what to think, but how to think. That's a claim that most schools, I know the Jesuit order has always used, that we don't tell people what to think, but how to think. Well, our first thing is that you get to. I want everybody to know that you get to think. You get to have your own opinion. You get to have your own worldview. As long as, and this is the ethos, this is the ethic behind all of this. As long as it serves your health and wholeness and it does not diminish the life experience of another, then feel free to fully inhabit and live in a worldview that works for you, even if it is only for you. But how do I react to information when it comes my way? How am I to think about it? There are two kinds of responses that I would like to talk about today. One is the things that we can't do anything about, and one is things that we're supposed to do something about. When we are overwhelmed with information or feelings or energies that are all around us, and it really isn't a part of our life, it might be wise to ignore it. The flip side of that, though, is, how do I say this correctly? Is there some part of me that does need to listen to that? Is that reflecting back to me something that I do? It's unusually serious today, but that's where I am. These unfortunate, tragic situation in Nigeria where these girls have been kidnapped. Well, what can I do about that? You know, setting up a hashtag account really doesn't do anything about that. But you know, when there are large global things that are going on, I have found in reality what's good for me is to always think, when have I been guilty, or how am I guilty in my thought? I was kind of made a joke of when Jimmy Carter so many years ago said that he had lusted after women in his heart, but he never cheated on his wife. We kind of made fun of him for that. But is there any time, am I doing anything that's oppressive to girls and women? I mean, right off the top of my head, I want to say no, of course not, because I'm perfect. I feel great to be part of a spiritual organization from the very, very beginning has had at least more than 50% in the pulpit of women ministers. We have not ever had that argument. And we are, as a movement, in complete integrity with that kind of gender issue. That's very important to me. But are there times, you know, when I feel greater than or less than or entitled to boss somebody around? You know, these are things that really are part of a spiritual everyday practice. Energies that speak to, I am the boss of you, so shut up and do what I say. Am I guilty of that? Well, not as much as I used to. Okay. Do I use opportunities when they come to my attention to reflect on that? I hope so. You know, I think that this is really what making an effort to live according to a spiritual principle is really about. Is when something comes to my attention, am I aware of it? Do I make an effort? I hope so. And how do I grow? Little by little. There's no great revolution. We talk about moments of total enlightenment and being changed forever for the sake of telling an interesting story or something that's very theatrical, but I don't believe that it happens to human beings. It's little by little, all the time. But everything that could happen is an opportunity for me to ask myself that kind of question, even if I think there's nothing I can do about it. Am I putting a positive charge into life? Am I abusing a position of power in any way? And to think about it, to take time and think about it. That's noble work, noble work. What about things that you can do something about? What do you do? How do you think? How do you act? Do we merely react when somebody says, "I hate you, I hate you more"? How does that work out for a grown-up? Not so good. As Gandhi said, you know, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Okay. We know that that's not the skillful way to be. But how do we think about things when it really makes us mad? Or if somebody really crosses that line? What do you do? Where do you go in mind? I hope you go to a principle, an idea. I use the word principle in another way, a principle that you live your life according to. Now, for me, the one that I make the effort to live in accord with is that I really do mean to always respect everyone else's health and wholeness. And as long as they're not diminishing the life experience of another, to let them be. Let him be. But if somebody is diminishing a life experience or experience of a great number of people, and if I'm responsible for it, I need to step into that. I know in 12-step work it's a very common expression to always put principle before personality, but I believe the first time it appeared in print in English was in Emily Cady's book Lessons in Truth from 1888, when she said, always put principle before personality. What is the principle that you're working with, that you're developing your business along? What is the principle? How do you have confidence when you want to make a good choice? By knowing what the principle is that you live by. I can't tell you what yours is, but I can tell you that you've got to have one. You've got to have one that gives you confidence and clarity in all of our business dealings, in all of our relationship experiences, in all of our personal desires. What is it that I hope to achieve? How do I want to be in the world? I had a phone conversation with a relative in a far, far place, far corner of America the other day. Well, like I'm saying to cousin A, well, you know, you're 50 now, so what do you want to do? I don't know. I said, gee, that was so quick. What do you mean you don't know? What is it that you really want to do? If you're tired of being a paralegal, what do you want to do? I don't know. Is that the answer you've memorized to let yourself off the hook for having a job you hate? Or what is it that you want to do? Because cousin A, you know, I've grown up with you for 50 years. I know what you want to do. Why are you telling me you don't know what you want to do? I don't know. Well, you know, I went back to where the talk started. You know, you get to choose. But for most people, this is an earth-shaking idea. You get to choose. You get to make up your life. You get to. Arguably, if you want to have some deep satisfaction and leave some blessing behind, one must do that. One must assume responsibility for the gifts that we've been given. You know, I say this every week, I guess. It's hard work being a conscious grown-up. It's so easy to have bad relationships. It's so easy to hate your job. It's so easy to be mad at whoever makes you mad. That's so easy. And do we all default to that once in a while? Yes. But do you really know if you mean it or not? Self-examination is so important. Do I really mean that? No. Am I really mad about something? And if I am, I better do something about it. Because if you see it, it's yours. It's your condition to heal. It's your song to write. It's your relationship to step into and assume responsibility for. If you see it, it's yours. Great principle to live your life by. If it really gets to me, then maybe I better do something about it. One will not really know the full experience of living until we let other people off the hook. Assume responsibility for knowing what we really think about this world and other worlds that may be of interest to us. My person, other persons. There is such joy and such freedom in finally getting to a place where we do assume that responsibility. That, you know, I've devoted my life to asking of myself to keep in the flow of that. It's not that I got anything that I need to, you know, one shares what you love. You teach what you know so far to all human beings, right? No matter what it is. You share what you love and you teach what you know so far. If, like that first song that Michael sang, you know, you get to the end of your life, and if you can really, really say, you know what? I gave my best. I gave my best. What a rich life that would be. If you're not sure that you could say that today, here's the good news. You got the rest of however much time you have to work on it. And all it is, all it involves, is about really not being angry or holding anybody else hostage for your good and giving your full, here's the Mother Day, your full mothering, nurturing, unconditional attention to that which you want to be doing. It's totally worth it, and so are you. I love you. Thank you.